Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, sacred through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, who quote what was wrote, but it ain't the way it's delivered.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still trying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Vultures the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The comings, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober. But you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed to.
Yo, bro, it's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
a penny. And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I hold the keys to survival, I'm here to strengthen God's saints. And the water's vital.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time, I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Boom. All right, shalom. All right, all right, all right, all right. Shalom, good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of What It Seems Within Five Talk. My name is Shalom. Well, if you're here with the ISBHPK, that's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. We have locations located in San Antonio, Texas, in Houston, Texas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, and also Rochester, New York. These are the brothers that we are aligned with, the Babs that we're aligned with. Also the brothers out there in Florida, as far as Sakari, House of David, Light of Zion, there's so many Sons of Thunder, Sons of Thunder, Fire of Israel. Brothers are all over. Brothers from all over. And a great awakening that's taking place of Hebrew Israelites in a very historic and unprecedented miraculous sign of the nation of Israel actually waking back up, the sleepy giant actually waking back up to the truth of our nationality, the truth of who we are, the truth of the Bible, and the truth of God. Which was prophesied in the scriptures,
that was going to happen to the nation of Israel, to the actual descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the people that Moses led through the Red Sea, when Moses, under the direction of God, commanded Pharaoh to let my people go, let the Israelites go, that was a proclamation from God that the Israelites are his people. And we know that the Israelites are made of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, being so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and so-called Mexicans. Here in the Western Hemisphere, those people of Negroid and Indian descent scattered throughout North and South America. But we know that the part of the covenant that God made with the Israelites, coming out of Egypt, was that if we obeyed his voice and obeyed his commandments and kept his laws, we would be his people and he would be our God. That was a covenant or a contract that the Israelites made with the God of Israel, the creator of the heavens and the earth. But the Israelites, our forefathers, we broke that covenant. We broke that contract. And so there are certain consequences and certain punishments that we had to undergo because we did not keep our word. We did not keep our promise that we would obey God and God only, that we would obey his laws, his statutes, commandments. And in so doing, there were certain curses and certain punishments that we had to undergo. And one of the things, I got my friend here. Let me tell you such things real quick as we get ready to get into this thing here. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 28. You might have come a little closer to use my phone for the mic. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're actually going to start at verse 15. Well, actually, we'll verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth.
All right, so upon our obedience to God's laws, upon our obedience to God's commandments and the way he wanted things done, that this nation of Israel will be set above all nations upon the face of the earth to be the example to the rest of the earth of how to do things God's way, to be the example of God's righteousness, to be, if you will, God's ambassadors on the earth by doing things God's way, that the other nations have already been established and already have their ways of worship, their ways of honoring their gods, honoring their culture, honoring their ways. But for the Hebrew Israelites, that upon our being free from the ancient Egyptian captivity, that if we went ahead and we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, that he would set us on high above all the nations upon the face of the earth. All right? That would be upon our obedience to his word, to his commandments, to his laws. Let's go ahead and jump down to verse 15 now. For there's going to be a repercussion now. It's funny if you look at it. We have from Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1, through Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 14, we have the blessings of what was going to happen to the nation of Israel, those 13 scriptures. But then once we get to verse 15, which my son is about to read for me right now, once we get to verse 15, we get from, well, I'm going to read it first. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass.
Hold on, just a touch because there's an echo.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
So then, again, it's part of this contract that God made, this covenant that God made with the Israelites, that now from Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 15, there would be certain curses or certain punishments, certain consequences that would happen upon our disobedience and our rebellion against God's word. And again, when we read from Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16, through Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 68, let me get my calculator out. How many verses is that? I'm not really good at math like that.
From
16
to.
I mean, 68 minus 16. What you got? 52. Good job. Good job. My son's a college graduate. I should trust him. All right. So we have 13 verses of the Most High giving us the blessings that the Israelites will receive for our obedience to him. But then we have 52 verses of consequences that would happen to us for not keeping his law, statutes, and commandments. So it's very weighty. Very, very weighty in what was happening to the Israelites upon, again, our disobedience of God's word, our disobedience of his laws, his statutes, his commandments that he gave us on Mount Sinai in the 40-year journey through the wilderness from Egypt on the way to the promised land. That what we know as the Torah being given to us, his laws, his statutes, commandments, his precepts, and that there was going to be certain consequences. Heavy consequences that was going to happen. Now, let's get another consequence that was going to happen. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I believe it's verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 26. And as we're getting the scripture here now, that we're going to Moses is going to prophesy here in this verse here. More consequences that was going to happen to the Israelites again for our disobedience. And one thing I want to try to introduce to us right now is we do believe in the whole Bible, right? We believe in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And even books called the Apocrypha. If you ever have a chance to get a hold of the original King James 1611 Bible, and you see it's written in the old English letters and the old English vernacular and dialect, that you have a book in there called the Apocrypha. It's between the Old Testament and New Testament. And that wasn't taken out by the Catholic Church until the late 1880s, as a matter of fact. But when the 1611 King James protected the first scholars to translate the Hebrew scrolls and the Latin scrolls into English, that a part of the Bible was the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Apocrypha. And that's easy to look up. But the church came back in the 1880s, in the late 1880s, and determined that the Apocrypha was not, they said, canon. It wasn't inspired by God. But that if you wanted to know about history, yes, it was definitely a part of the Bible. And it was taken out. So I just want to state this here that we do believe in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Apocrypha, okay, the whole entire Bible. We are followers and believers of it, okay? So, again, this prophecy now about of Moses, of another consequence that was going to happen to the Israelites upon our disobedience to God's word. Let's get Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 26.
Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 26. I said, I will scatter them into corners. I will break the remembrance of them to see for a long time.
Right, so another one of the consequences that was happening to the Israelites is that instead of being in the promised land, the land of milk and honey, the most fertile land on the planet Earth that was promised to us, that was promised to Abraham, and then on to Isaac, and then to Jacob, that for their obedience, that this land, that wherever Abraham walked, that land would be given to his seed for an inheritance. Again, what we know as the promised land, what we know as the land of milk and honey, that upon our disobedience to his word, our breaking the covenant, and now we would be kicked off the promised land. We would be kicked out of that land that we inherited, and that we would be scattered to the corners, and to the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west, western hemispheres. We would now be scattered out of our land. And if I'm being scattered out of our land, it says, I will make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. That one thing that was going to happen to the Israelites is that the world was going to forget who the Israelites are. That and the Israelites was going to forget who we are. that that was going to be one of the consequences or one of the punishments that would happen to us for our disobedience. So to come back now and realize that today we call ourselves Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, so-called Mexicans, as far as what we've been taught is our nationality, when that's not really our nationality. These are our citizenships, or these are labels that we have placed upon us, but that's not the truth of our nationality according to the Bible. So for call ourselves Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalian, Seventh-day Adventists, Muslims, Mormon, Catholics, or what have you. That again, all these religions that we call ourselves after, it's just further proof that this consequence, that the Lord was going to cause the remembrance of us to cease from among men, took place. That we have definitely been living in these times, that we have forgotten that we are the Israelites, that we have forgotten that we are God's chosen people. And we've been directed and enforced to follow religion, to follow a citizenship, to follow a false identity that is not our true identity. All right. To further back that point up, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and let's read verse 37. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to read verse 37. All right, and help keep this concept and idea. As I know, I got some new people listening on the line today, and we welcome y'all. Shalom, in ancient Hebrew saying of peace. Shalom. We're glad you're able to tune into us today, tonight. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I should put this disclaimer out there also before we start the class. Unlike any Bible class you might have been in, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures, okay? I know a lot of people are more used to a Bible class, being in your common church, maybe a Wednesday night Bible study, or even on Sunday, going to church on Sunday, that in the little pamphlet that's given out, giving the direction of what the Sunday benediction is going to be about, what have you. That's the pastor, the reverend, the bishop, the deacon, whoever, is going to go over probably about three scriptures. In an hour-long discourse, hour and a half-long discourse, and it's just going to be about three scriptures, even in a Sunday church, even in a Sunday meeting, or conversation. But for us, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures. So we do beg you, please get paper and pen. Please get a paper and pen or a pencil. As this class is being recorded, you'll be able to pull this class back up at any time, especially if you go on Google Podcasts and type in Mashaba, Sword of Truth or Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, which is my name, and the Google Podcast, our page will come up, and there you can every show we've done since 2010 is archived there at Google Podcasts, Mashaba, Sword of Truth, Bible Talk, Mashaba. Or you can go to the blogtalkradio.com, go to the search box, type in my name, Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-V-A. And again, all of our classes going all the way back to 2010 have been archived and recorded. That's what I like about the Blog Talk format. So you can catch up with any class or any of our shows that we've done. They're all there for you to be listened to. I like the Google Podcast because you can fast forward and rewind in the classes. If you just go straight to the blogtalkradio.com site, if you get a phone call during the middle of a playback, then when you come back and when you start the class over again, it's going to start all over from the beginning. And that's just how the format is on blogtalkradio.com. But if you download blogtalkradio.com, Sword of Truth, through Google Podcasts, then as you listen to the class, you get a phone call or whatever might happen, you can fast forward, you can rewind, and you can catch up to where you can catch up to or fast forward, or if you miss the scripture that you didn't write down, you can rewind it and be able to get it. So these are ways that we ask you to do it. But while you're listening to the class, we ask, please get a paper and pen and write these scriptures down, all right, that you might actually see what the Bible is actually saying. One thing I really abhor, me personally, just my own personal opinion, I hate people just listening because they think I have a great voice, or they like my personality, or they like my charisma, and that's why they tune in and listen, when that does not guarantee you that you're getting God's word. That's not going to guarantee you that, again, that you're actually following God. And we want to make sure with the tool resource that we have that you're actually getting the Bible, right? That you actually, and there's something you can go and read. There's something you can actually go and see what it says for yourself. So you can see, because the scripture tells us a man should be commended according to his wisdom, that you can go back now and actually read what the Bible actually says as opposed to what some man said because of his charisma. This is not in a cult. We don't have a cult following where just because you like, again, my personality, you like the charisma, and that's why I can listen to him, but I like his charisma, because that means as soon as I piss you off or say something that you don't like, I'll say, now, forget the Bible, forget what was being said, and you're not going to listen. And that's not what we want. We want to make sure that people are actually getting God's word, actually getting the scriptures, not getting my theory, not getting my opinions, not getting my what have you, but we're actually reading God's word. We're letting the Bible talk, since the name of our show, Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. We want the Bible to be the talking. So right now, what verse are we in, Bacha? All right, so going back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, we're actually going to read verse 15 again, and then jump down to verse 37. So on, sir.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15.
Yeah.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
Okay, so again, it's the consequence for the Israelites breaking God's covenant, breaking the contract that was established between them and God. Now we get, again, one of the consequences that was going to befall the Israelites upon our not keeping our end of God's covenant, upon us not keeping our end of obeying and God's word. Let's jump down to verse 37 right now.
Deuteronomy 28 and verse 37, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, which the Lord shall lead me.
So one of the consequences that was going to befall us as Israelites is that we were going to become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword. And a proverb and a byword means it's being called a name that is not who you are. Not a nickname. That's different from a nickname. You're being called something who you're not, like almost like a slander, if you will. So for now, for us now to be at a point where we don't know that we're the Israelites, again, we're thinking that we're Americans, African-Americans, Negroes, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, similar Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, or Mexicans. These are bywords. And if we think about it, we didn't get these labels placed upon us until the so-called Age of Discovery. That until the Spaniards and the Portuguese and the English pilgrims came to the Americas, that these we didn't call ourselves by these names. We didn't call ourselves African Americans. Again, even the word Africa, go and do a little research. The continent of Africa didn't get named Africa until the Punic Wars. It was during the Punic Wars where Leo Scipio Africanus, when he defeated Hannibal, after he defeated Hannibal during the Punic Wars, that's when that continent became known as Africa, named after an Italian conqueror, Italian Roman conqueror. That's when Africa got its name, Africa. We know America. Columbus didn't actually discover the mainlands of America. He discovered the route from Europe to America, but he never made it to the mainland. He never actually made it to the mainland and made the map of Central South America. It was Amerigo Vespucci. That's where the name America comes from. So for us, as so-called blacks in America, we call ourselves African-Americans. That is obviously not who we are. We're not the result or the seed of two Italian explorers or two Italian men. That simply is not who we are. Or if we call ourselves Negroes. Again, the word Negro goes back to the Latin word niger, negro, which means black. And if you look at our skin color, we're different shades of brown. Our hair might be black. Our shoes, our pants, our sweats, our eyebrows might be black. But if you look at our skin color, next to the color black, you'll see the different shades of brown. What we call ourselves Negroes or African Americans. Again, these are labels or titles that were put upon us that we would forget that we're the Israelites. As a consequence of our disobedience, as a consequence of us breaking God's covenant, as a consequence of us forgetting God, all right, and not doing things God's way. Did you read verse 37 again? What you looking up, son? I'm sorry?
I'm
not being sarcastic, is that it? Yeah, he does that when class going on, so that he can sure that's why he's in class and he's doing big things. Cool. So I'll read again. I'll read. That is important. Obviously, because he knows his class, but he never mind. Handle that. Go ahead and go to the back, whatever. Handle that, and you get sent to back. That is everybody. That is dealing with everybody. You're not going to miss any part of the class. We're good. Handle that. That is important. All right, so again, I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 37. It says, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall lead you. So if we look at the term Puerto Rico, that term Puerto Rico is Spanish or Latin for rich port. Puerto meaning port, Rico meaning rich. Puerto Rico. That label or that description of the land, of the island, was given when the Spanish first conquered that land. The so-called Taino or Boricua Indians that were there, so-called even Indians. We know that Columbus gave that name Indians because he thought he was finding a new trade route to India, Haji land or what have you. That's why he called them Indians, when obviously they're not Indians. They weren't Indians, but these were labels that were put upon the people. Okay? So we become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword. The Puerto Ricans, if it's, again, North American Indians. We know that north is a direction. America, again, was named after Amerigo Vespucci. And all this is, you can look all this up. You can verify all this. This ain't just a black rant or AV rant or what have you. All this is verifiable with history and with facts. That, again, north being a direction, America being named after Amerigo Vespucci, and the name Indian actually meaning savage, North American savage. These were the labels or the titles placed upon the people upon the so-called Age of Discovery, since the 1400s, and since 1619 when the Spaniards first came over, that these labels that we go by today, we're not known as the Hebrew Israelites or as the Israelites or the 12 tribes. We're known by these other proverbs and bywords. Then we have from Haitian, Dominican Republic, Dominicans. Dominicans goes back to Domingo, which means dog. So they're called the Santo Domingo is Saint Dogs. That is not the name of a people. That's not what they call themselves upon the arrival of the European conquestors or invaders. We have the name of Haiti, which goes back again to the Latin word Hades, which means hell, the people of hell. That is not the name that the people call themselves upon the arrival of the conquistadors, upon the arrival of the invaders. That these are not the names that the people greeted themselves with or presented themselves with, but these were labels that were placed upon us. Okay? So this just goes in league with some of these scriptures that these prophecies that the Father said was going to befall the Hebrew Israelites for our disobedience, for us not keeping God's commandments, us not keeping God's laws. But now to come back to a time, now I'm going to go to the book of Hosea. All right? If you guys please follow me to the book of Hosea. Chapter 1 and verse 10. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. I'm going now to the book of Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. And it reads, yes, the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. That, for again, that for how many Israelites there are, for how many people came out of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, says it's innumerable. You can't count how many Israelites there are. It says, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. And this, in what place were we not called God's people? It was here in this upon the founding of the new world, upon the founding of the age of discovery. Because if you go back and do just a little bit of research, which is necessary, even in the Roman captivity, during the Roman Empire, where Christ was crucified, the Jews, the Israelites, still knew our nationality. We still knew our name. We still knew we were Israelites. If you go all the way back to our first captivity, the Egyptians, we still knew we were the Israelites while we were still in that captivity. And for every captivity since then, again, all the way up through the Roman Empire, we still knew we were the Israelites. We still knew who we were. We still knew our tribes, our language. We still had a sense of our culture. But the only captivity that the Hebrew Israelites have ever been in has been this modern captivity with the Age of Discovery, 1492, when the Nina, the Pinkton, the Santa Maria first sailed from Europe and came to the Americas, then now the term Indian was presented. The term Puerto Rican was presented. The term Haitian was presented. The term Jamaican was presented. The word Costa Rica was presented. The word Brazilian was presented. The word Argentinian was presented. The word Chilean was presented. The word Cherokee or Navajo or Aztec and Inca, that's when these words were first introduced to the people. Okay, so as my son is back now, we're in Hosea chapter 1 verse 10. The book of Hosea chapter 1 verse 10. As again, they're trying to allude to the historic time that we're living in, that you have God's people actually waking up to their nationality. That this is something that was written about and been prophesied about, that not only will we lose sense of our nationality, lose sense of our name, lose sense of our heritage and our true culture, but that time is going to return or come back, where the Lord was going to return this back to us, all right, because of his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So if we can read that, please, Hosea chapter 1, verse 10.
Hosea chapter 1, verse 10.
Let
the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people.
Again, what place was that? That's been here in the Americas. It's been in the Americas that we've not been called the people of God. And when we read the Bible, the people of God are the Israelites. That we've not been given a clue that we are the Israelites. We've gone generations of our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. Whatever our last name might be, that's not Hebrew, it's not Israelite, that it was the last name of whatever people conquered our people at that particular time. Whatever slave plantation or sugar plantation or just land that was conquered by conquistadors, that was conquered by English, that was conquered by Portuguese, that was conquered by the English, the Irish, or whoever, that their name was put upon us because we became their property. We became subject to them. We became subject to their laws, to their government. We became subject to their cruelty, their sense of justice. We became subject to these things because of our disobedience to the Lord our God, because we broke God's covenant, because we went against God when he gave us his word. We heard his word. So in the place that was said unto us, we are not God's people. The only place where it's been said to us that we're not God's people has been here in the Americas, that we have been taught opposite of who we are. We've been taught to be Democrats and Republicans. We've been taught to be a gang, a crip, a blood, a disciple, not even a disciple of Christ, but a gangster disciple, a Latin king, a pirate, or what have you. We've been taught to be the hip-hop nation. And then we go about talking about how other people are culture vultures and they're stealing from the nation. We're not hip-hop. That's not who we are. That is not the truth of our nationality. That is not who we are. From the Blue Nation, the Boy Scouts even, we've not been taught the truth of our nationality, that we really are God's people. We've been taught to follow a religion, again, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Seventh-day Adventist, Mormon, Catholic, non-denominational. We've been taught all these different things, but we've not been taught that God's people are the Israelites and that we are the descendants of those people, that we are the Israelites, and that we have been punished because of our disobedience to God's word, because of us breaking God's covenant, because of us breaking the contract. So, again, Hosea chapter 1, verse 10, the middle of verse 10.
There it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God.
And it's there that we find, it's here in the same place, we're finding out that we are the sons of the living God. Now, let's continue to use the Bible to understand the Bible. Who does God say his sons are? Let's go to Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Let's continue to use the Bible to understand the Bible. Let's continue to use the Bible to give understanding or insight or to open up the Bible. Who does God say his children are? Who does God say his sons are? All right, let's look at that. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. All right, we're still broadcasting, still online. Sorry about that. I'm also moving to the scripture real quick. You guys are son? All right.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn.
So, when we read Hosea, if you still have Hosea, we can put back and forth between those two. Now, if you want to put back and forth between those two.
Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10.
Right.
Okay. Hosea chapter 1 verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God.
All right, cool. So now if I says that you are the sons of the living God. Now, who does God say his sons are? Right? We have to use the Bible to understand the Bible. We have to use the Bible to open up the mysteries of the Bible. So who does God say his sons are? Because the teaching today would be that anybody could be God's son. Anybody with red blood is God's son. But let's see who God says his sons are. Where we at? If we go now back to Exodus, chapter 4 and verse 22.
Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son.
Who?
Israel is my son.
Israel, the Israelites are the children of God. The Israelites are the sons of God. Really?
Even my firstborn.
Even God's firstborn. Yes, sir.
Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22.
Let's read it again. Make sure everybody got it.
Exodus chapter 4 verse 22 from the top.
Slow down just a little bit.
And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn.
So Israel is my son, even my firstborn. We take it around that. That because we've not been taught the Bible, we've been taught religion. We've been taught politics. We've been taught just survival. Right? It's a dog-eat-dog world, so and education is the key. So you better work on your education. That we've gone through these things, but the one thing we've not been getting is actually God's word. We've been told from people like Martin Luther King, follow your dreams. You got to have a dream. You have to have a goal, have a dream. And don't anybody start this new dream. And we follow these things. We've done these things to try and survive during this time, but we have not been actually getting God's word. And again, that's the title of our class. That's why our class is called The Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. The Sword of Truth being God's word, which is the Bible. Bible Talk. Let's let the Bible do the talking now. Let's actually get the scriptures. Let's use the Bible to understand the Bible. It's, as opposed to gospel songs, as opposed to just gospel lyrics or rap lyrics or the 48 laws of power or 50 cents, 50 laws of power or what have you. Let's not actually get inside the book and actually read what the book has to say. From there, just to prove this point a little bit more, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 9. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 9. All right, we're going to go to the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and we're going to also read verse 9. Just to help back up this point a little bit more about how the times we're living in now, that the Israelites are actually waking back up to the nationality. It's a very miraculous, very historic times that we're living in. That now the Israelites are actually getting the fulfillment of a lot of prophecies is taking place now, that we're actually now finding out or have access to find out we are the Israelites, that and it can be proven with scriptures. That again, one thing I like to challenge people with is, for whatever this background you might grow up with, can you find that religion in the Bible? And when I say that, I mean it in this sense right here. If you grew up as a Catholic, can you find the word Catholic in the Bible? No. If you grew up a Seventh-day Adventist, can you find Seventh-day Adventist in the Bible? No. If you grew up a Pentecostal, can you find Pentecostal in the Bible? No. If you grew up Episcopalian, can you find the word Episcopalian in the Bible? No. In the Mormon Bible, the Book of Mormon, can you find the word Mormon in the Book of Mormon? No. Is not there. So a lot of these things that we call ourselves and we swear by and we're ready to die for and we proclaim, you can't even find those words in any of God's scriptures. You can't find those words or the religions anywhere in the Bible. So how do you know you're following the right thing? If you can't even find that religion, whatever religion it is you follow, in the Bible. So let's continue to use more of the Bible to get more understanding about, again, if I can really stress the importance of us finding out that we're the Israelites, of us, this becoming back available to us. In Jeremiah chapter 31 right now and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 9. I have two brothers tonight. I have the brother Ahmad here and I have the brother Abadi here. We know call in so we can see how the sound is. But right now we're in Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 9.
They shall come with weeping and with supplication will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble.
Well,
I am a father to Israel.
Now, it's, who is God of the father to?
To Israel.
In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 9, the Creator is telling you, I am a father to Israel. Making Israel what? His children. He already claimed, let us know in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, that Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Here he's stating in Jeremiah that I'm a father to Israel. So as we come back now, we're actually reading the Bible. Now, why is it that these things have slipped or gotten by a lot of religious leaders, a lot of religious teachers, a lot of people who believe they're God-fearing? Why has it slipped by them? Now let's go to the book of Amos, chapter 8 and verse 11. Now let's get to the book of Amos, chapter 8 and verse 11. Of why this has been such a mystery, of why this has been hid, of why this is not readily available. And again, and understanding this is a miracle of God. I'm not talking about a miracle as far as walking in water. I'm not talking about a miracle as far as seeing through walls like some X-ray vision. I'm not talking about a miracle as far as somebody touching you and healing cancer. But on a national level, because those are individual miracles, but on a national level, for the nation of Israel to now be able to come back and have access to the truth of our nationality, that is a miracle in itself, because our enemies, and we're going to get these scriptures next, God's enemies did not want the Israelites to wake up to the truth of who they are. Do not want it to happen. Right now we're in Amos chapter 8, verse 11.
Amos chapter 8, and verse 11. Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord.
Okay, so this was a prophecy given during the time of Amos. Right? This was a prophecy that God had prophesied during the time of Amos. It was approximately 500 years before Christ even walked the earth. Right? Almost half a millennium before Christ walked the earth, 5 centuries before Christ walked the earth. This is one of the prophecies that God gave the prophet Amos of things that was going to happen from that time. And we can now look back here in the year 2021 and see this prophecy really did take place. I'm going to ask my son to read this scripture one more time.
Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread.
That there's going to be a famine. A famine means something that's scarce. It's hard to find. Right? He said, but this famine is not going to be a famine of bread. It's not going to be you can't find it. It's not talking about that. Read.
Nor a thirst for water.
And we're going to be a famine where you can't find any water because from Dasani to Aquafina to, what's that, the 9.5 to Under Armour to, if you can go to your faucet right now and turn the water on, obviously there's not a famine for water. So it's not referring to that. Read.
But hearing the word of the Lord.
That there's going to come a time that there's going to be a famine or a scarcity of hearing God's word. When did that famine take place? When did that start? Upon the age of discovery. The age of discovery of the Americas. 1492, when Columbus and the Spaniards first invaded the so-called Americas, or 1619, when with the arrival of the first slave ships coming from so-called Africa into America. That well, from that time, we were not getting God's words. We were getting religion. From that time, we weren't hearing the words of God. We were getting religion. And we've been living our lives that way ever since. That there has been a famine of hearing God's words. And again, this is why we stress so much. Please write the scriptures down. Go and read the scriptures for yourself so that you see that this is what the Bible says. Okay? So from there, let's get Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26. How's it sound, bro?
It actually sounds good all 37.
Cool. Where's that song? All right, now we're going to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 26. All right, Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 26.
Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 26. Even the mystery.
I'm sorry, verse 25.
Colossians, chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God.
So it tells you that Paul, even during the time when he was teaching, that he was made a minister. A servant. That's what the word minister means. But you're supposed to be a servant, not getting served, not getting rich, not getting you driving G5 jets all around in Rolls Royces or whatever. That Paul was made a minister according to the dispensation, according to how God has things out, not according to theology, theological school, not according to a degree of religion that you might have received from online or what have you. But that Paul was made a minister according to the dispensation of God, that God has to dispense who his ministers are. God's got to give this to you. Not something you came up with in a dream. That's something that you came up with, and after you got locked up for a little while, you discovered God, came out, and now you're a reverend. That's not how this works, all right? So, again, it says, wherefore, and this is Paul speaking, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. Read.
Which is given to me for you.
That the things that God has given me is for you. Read.
To fulfill the word of God.
Go ahead.
Even the mystery which has been hid for ages and for generations.
And what's the mystery that was hid for ages and for generations?
Who are the true
Israelites? Who are the Jews? Because since the age of discovery, for ages and generations, since America was discovered, so-called discovery, and how do you discover people that are already here? That's another question we like to pose. But since the age of discovery, the mystery has been, who are the Jews? Who are the Israelites? That's the mystery that's been here for ages and for generations. This is why a lot of our great grandparents, ask them the nationality, they're going to give you a color. Ask them the nationality, they're going to give you a religion. Ask the nationality, they're going to give you a political, what's that, political affiliation. They're not going to tell you that we're the Israelites. They even come out and say, we're the Gentiles. They'll go to that extent. So it's been a mystery about who are God's people. That's been here for ages and for generations, right? What verse was that? How about you?
That was the verse where it was asked about the mystery was Colossians 1.
Let's keep reading.
Colossians 1 and verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
To whom God would make known what is the riches.
We didn't finish 26. There's something about the 26. Just read all 26 again.
Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints.
That tells you that this mystery was going to be made manifest to God's saints. Now, from being here in New Mexico, we have Santa Fe, which is from St. Francis, or St. Fe. We have San Pedro, which is St. Peter in Spanish. We have San Francisco. St. Francisco. We have St. Louis Obispo. We have San Juan. We have all types of different saints, but who is God's saint? Right? Let's use the Bible to answer the Bible. Who does God say his saints are? Let's go to Psalms chapter 148 and verse 14. Let's see who God says his saints are and let the Bible do the talking. Right? Because we can say that Mother Teresa, who was a nun, she was a saint. She might be, but is she one of God's saints, according to God's definition of what a saint is? Not according to religion, not according to Catholicism, not even according to the football team, the New Orleans Saints. Who are God's saints? All right? Psalm chapter 148 and verse 14. Let's watch this go.
Psalms chapter 148 and verse 14.
And again, what we want to do is we want to use the Bible to answer the Bible. We want to use the Bible to decode the Bible. This ain't a trance we went into, and now we've been burning incense and smoking cannabis or hemp or sage, and now that we're in this altered state, that now we're going to discover God. And we're going to get in some crazy yoga position where we get the blood and the kundalini and the pineal gland and what have you. It's flowing towards the chakras. And now we're getting these feelings, and now that must be God. No, let's use God's word to understand God's word. Okay? So now we're in Psalms 148 and verse 14.
Psalms 148 and verse 14. He also exalted the Lord.
So it tells you that God is going to exalt. In other words, exalt means to raise up. God's going to raise up the horn of his people. A horn, if you think about it, think about the horns of a unicorn, of an rhinoceros, the horns of a deer, the horns of a elk, the horns of a moose, horns of a ram even. That's where the power of the horns of a bull. That's where the power is at. right? So here is a metaphor where it's being stated that God is going to exalt the horn or the power of his people. This little insight with this scripture right here, what is the power of God's people? Because in this society, money gives you power. But that's the power of God's people. In this society, a gun is power. That if you have a gun, you can make people do what you want them to do. You can control people. You can make them, you tell them to dance, they're going to dance. You tell them to give you some money, whatever it's going to be, money gives you power in this society. A degree can give you power in this society. But if that's the power or the horn that God's going to exalt for his people, what is the power of God's people? The Chinese. The Chinese might be the power of their herbs, the power of their herbal histories and tinctures and potions. And that is their power, that if you want to get healed from this, they know what plant and herbs or whatever to go to and be healed and live. And you can go to China, parts of Asia, and people living in their hundreds from the things that they're eating. That is their power. But what is the power that God's going to exalt of his people? And again, as we're going over this, of the Israelites, is the fact that you got a gun, you got a weapon, is the fact that you take herbs, is the fact that you stacked up open winter money. Is that the power of God's people that God is going to exalt? Obviously not. But let's read that again.
Psalm chapter 148, verse 14. He also exalted the horn of his people.
God's going to exalt the horn or the power of his people. Our power is doing God's righteousness. That is truly our power. That is truly what is going to give us everything. We're being cursed because we didn't obey our God. We'll get blessed if we obey our God. But we have not been obeying our God to receive his blessings. And again, for on a national level, because we've been taught so much in this society to be individuals. So it's just about your own individual wealth, your own individual comfort, your own individual sense of whatever. But on a national level, remember, when God blessed the nation of Israel, we didn't have to build one house. We didn't have to have knowledge of construction. We didn't have to have heavy equipment operators to go and dig wells. So now my family has something to drink because we had to dig this well for water. They were already digged for us. The mansions and the houses that we inhabited were already built. We took them over. The food source that we had was already alkaline and organic. It was the most fertile food soil on the planet Earth. We were given servants that the nations that we conquered became our servants. So we weren't out there with a backhoe or with a shovel having to dig and or get behind the oxen or get behind the horses and plow the land and put in a good heart of his day's work, on his day's work. That is not how God blessed the nation of Israel. We literally took everything over. We didn't have to have knowledge of how to be a blacksmith, a silversmith, a seamstress, a tanner. That was that. When God blessed the nation, we didn't have to go through any of that. Unlike what we're forced to have to do today. Again, on a national level, not an individual level. So what verse do we have right now?
Yeah. He also exalted the horn or the power of his people, the praise of all his saints.
So he's going to exalt the power of his people, the praise of his saints. So who are his people? His saints.
Read. Even of the children of Israel.
So whose power is he going to exalt? Even the power of the children of Israel. Whose power is he going to exalt? The power of his saints. Who are who? The Hebrew Israelites. The children of Israel. And that is going to be exalted. Our power in doing God's righteousness and doing things right by God that is going to be exalted. That's going to be the way that we as a nation, not individuals, but as a nation, we're going to come up. Is that going to be because we all decided to vote for Barack Obama? Because that didn't happen. That didn't work. Then we came back and didn't have enough votes, and Trump got in. Now we came back. Joe Biden made some promises, and so we all voted for him. Now Joe Biden's in office, and now that's what's going to help us out. That is not going to be. That's not our power. That's not the power of the Israelites. That we got going to get more guns. That we're going to get more weapons. We're going to raise up a militia, and we're going to go out there and make sure we're practicing jungle warfare and guerrilla warfare. That is not our power. That is not what God's going to exalt for his faith. What's going to be exalted is, let's get it. Let's get Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let's get Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. For the nation of Israel, not individuals. God's going to exalt the horn of his people, his saints, who this mystery has been revealed to, the saints of God, who are the Israelites. Let's get Matthew chapter 6, verse 33.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
It's time for us now to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God's righteousness. And thank you, son. If you have a Bible equipped, you'll see that these are the words of Christ are in red. You see, this is actually Jesus Christ speaking. This is Christ telling you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not what's right with your job. Not what's right with your college, whatever. Not what's right with your religion. Not what's right with your political party. Not what's right with your fraternity. Seek ye first. Let's read again.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 from the top. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
And God's righteousness. Go ahead.
And all these things shall be added unto you.
And everything's going to be added to us. Everything's going to be added to us. But we have to be doing God's righteousness. Now let's get St. John chapter 4, verse 22. Let's get St. John chapter 4, verse 22. St. John chapter 4, verse 22. And again, I'm asking everybody, please, make sure you're writing the scriptures down. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures. Now, we do go through a lot of scriptures. For those that are newly tuning into the show, as I'm seeing phone numbers on the screen, tune in. Not only tune in, but please write these scriptures down. If you miss a scripture, again, you can go back to www.blogtalkradio.com. Once you pull that webpage up, go to the search box, type in Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. That will bring you to our page, our Sports True Blog Talk page. And from there, go to episodes, and you'll be able to download these episodes. Or if you do the same thing, search the same way through Google Podcasts and get the Blog Talk through Google Podcasts, you'll be able to fast forward, rewind to every part you might have missed. But we try and make sure that as readers here, that our readers are repeating the scriptures often so that a person has a chance to write them down. So the person has a chance to get the scripture, not just hearing somebody run their mouth just talking. All right? What do we have, son?
St. John, chapter 4, and verse 22.
Go ahead.
Ye worship, ye know not what.
And unfortunately, a lot of people are worshiping things. They have no idea what they're worshiping. They don't know why they call themselves Baptists, except that's what their families may call themselves, as long as you can remember. That great-grandma, great whoever, T.T., Theo, whoever, we've always been Baptists. We've always been Catholic. We've always been Seventh-day Adventists. We've always been Muslim. We've always been Methodist. We've always been Episcopalian. Again, that we worship things. And we have no idea what we worship. Why do we worship Mother's Day, Father's Day, St. Patrick's Day, and that's coming up? Why do we worship Christmas, Easter? Why do we worship these things? It's not, we have no idea why we do these things. We were told that we have something to do with God. We were told that it makes God happy. But nobody went to the Bible and showed us this is what God said do. Just like with Easter. Where did Christ, Easter is supposed to represent Christ's resurrection from the dead. Now he was buried on a Friday, and then from Friday evening to Sunday, early Sunday morning, which there's no way in hell mathematically you can get 3 days, 3 nights out of that. But Easter Sunday is supposed to represent Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. That's what it's supposed to represent. If it's supposed to represent Jesus Christ raised from the dead, what does a rabbit wing age got to do with him raised from the dead? Here comes Peter Tomatell, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hoppity, Easter's on his way. So when Christ resurrected, he said, look, I know I just raised from the dead, but you know what? Forget that. Did y'all see that rabbit? Did y'all see that rabbit laying eggs? Now, a rabbit is a mammal. It has a live birth. It's a mammal. Only birds, reptiles, and fish lay eggs. So I guess it would have been a miracle that a rabbit actually laid eggs. And that's just eggs, colored eggs. Decorations. And that. Something with glitter, or sometimes you got the confetti. If you're in San Antonio, you crack it open, it's got the confetti inside. Okay. Is that how Christ said commemorate or remember him raising from the dead? When he was born, where did they bring presents to a Christmas tree? Where was that done? And for his birth, he said, the way that you remember me and my birthday is to bring presents to a tree. And it don't say it's for Jesus Christ. Say Santa Claus brought the present. Just to give an example, there's a lot of things that we worship that we have no clue where it came from. And that matches what Christ is telling us right here. I'm asking my son to read it again. St. John chapter 4, verse 22.
You worship.
And you have no idea what you're worshiping. And again, you'll see that these are the words of Christ in red. You worship, you have no idea what you're worshiping. Read.
We know what we worship.
We do know what we worship now. Go ahead.
For the salvation of the Jews.
Who's salvation for?
Of the Jews.
It's for the Jews. It's for the Israelites. But we have become ourselves by religion. We become ourselves by a political party. We become ourselves by some type of gang affiliation or what have you. But we have not become ourselves by the truth of who we really are, that we are the Israelites. So, again, the purpose of our broadcast, the purpose of our shows and our teaching is to help wake up our people to the truth of their identity, the truth of God, and getting back to God's righteousness, doing things God's way, right, which is going to lead us to today's topic, John 3:16, right? Let's go to John 3:16, because I know a lot of this has sounded very controversial to somebody who has actually not been a reader of the Bible. That all this sounds very, very foreign. It almost sounds occultic. A lot of people, as we teach, like, what Bible are you reading from? And we're reading from the King James Bible, right? And King James did not write the Bible, right? 57 of the top Hebrew, Greek, and Latin scholars of the day translated the Hebrew, Greek, and Latin scrolls into English. And during this time, there was a lot of conflict between who had more power in the world. Was it the king had more power or the pope had more power? There was always a struggle back and forth about who actually had more power. So, yeah, within the church at the time, the Catholic Church at the time, a lot of corruption. Because the scriptures, the Bible, the scrolls were only in Latin. That's why a lot of Catholic services today are still done in Latin. You couldn't understand what's being said. You didn't understand what was going on. It was in Latin. So King James came back and protected 57 of the top scholars to translate the Bible from the Hebrew, Greek, and Latin into English so that even a common man might be able to read and see what God's word actually said. And in honor of him protecting those men, to translate the Bible, that's why it's called the King James Bible. But it's not because he wrote it. It's not because Shakespeare wrote it, but because he protected those scholars to translate the Bible from the Hebrew, Greek, and Latin into English. That's what we have. And so it's called the Authorized Version. Okay? So from there, let's go ahead and get John 3:16. And we are reading from the King James Bible. All right? St. John 3:16.
St. John 3:16.
There's kind of an echo. So I need you to be kind of clear and slow and enunciate so we can make sure it comes across cool.
St. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Right. Many people are familiar with this way, John 3:16. It's on the bottom of it's on billboards. It's football postcards, what have you. It's everywhere. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One thing we want to do, hopefully, that you might, as you've been tuning into our broadcast, and again, for the new people that are tuning in, thank you, that you might come back and see that, look at how many scriptures we've been going through, to let the Bible break down the Bible, to let the Bible decode the Bible, okay? So with that, continue to do that kind of notion as we now get into John 3:16. Because somebody please give me Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. The book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. And then Psalm chapter 119, verse 104. The next scripture we're going to get right now is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. And then Psalms, the 119 Psalms, and verse 104. Right. Somebody please give me those two scriptures. Well, I need Proverbs first. Yeah, it's going to be Psalm 119, verse 104. So again, as you've been following along, and we thank you for following along, right now we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. As we're now going to get into some and delve into John 3:16. Okay, because again, the world's concept of John 3:16 is that anybody in the whole wide world, whosoever, believing in God, should not perish, not have everlasting life. But we're going to really kind of dissect this to see what, and we're going to use God's word to dissect God's word so we can understand God's word, where God is coming from. Okay? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7.
Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. All
right, so here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it's telling us that wisdom.
All right, let's try this again. All right, there's going to be a serious delay now. Because I got to get this back. All right, sorry about that, y'all, for those that have tuned in and are listening. For whatever reason, my phone just kicked us off the air. And it's not letting me call back in, so we're having to use another means of trying to get back to the show to continue with the class. So, where we at right now? What verse are we in?
Proverbs 4, verse 7.
Yeah, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7.
Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Yeah. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding.
So, wisdom is the principal thing. And the word principal means first. So, wisdom is the first thing. Therefore, we want to give wisdom, and every scripture in the Bible is wisdom. Every scripture in the Bible is wisdom. So we want to get all the scriptures. But with all the wisdom that we get, with all the scriptures that we get, it says do what? The second part of verse 7?
And with all that getting, get understanding.
And with all the wisdom that we get, we have to make sure we're getting the understanding. We have to make sure we're getting God's understanding. You can't just get one scripture and figure you got God figured out. You know God because you got one scripture. That'd be like if somebody read one text that you sent, and all of a sudden they just know you. Because you sent one text,
and I didn't know everything about you. That would be a ridiculous assumption. That would be slanderous, damn near. But a lot of people do the same thing when it comes to God. They'll read one scripture and think they got God figured out. There's over 66 books just in the Old Testament and New Testament. If we had the Apocrypha, what's 66 plus 14? There's 80 books, Old Testament, New Testament, including the Apocrypha. You read one scripture and you got God figured out? Does that really make sense? Is that fair? No, it's not fair. And this is why God tells us again, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Well, with all that getting, get understanding. Are you understanding this the way God is saying it or coming across? Do you understand God's slang? Do you understand God's terminology or God's metaphors, how God puts things together? You're not going to get that because you got one scripture. And then you got your own dreams and your own thoughts and your own whatever. There's no way in hell you're going to understand God and you got one scripture. Ain't going to happen. To help back this up just a little bit, I'm not trying to, and forgive me for the cussing or whatever, that, again, we get very passionate when it comes to John 3:16 because this is pushed in every religion down there. Every Christian religion, this verse is pushed. To where in a lot of religions, Christian religions, you don't even read the Old Testament. They give you a Bible that's literally the New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. And somehow, it's like coming in the middle of a movie, and you're supposed to get an understanding about every character, and you came at the middle of the movie? No. Now, I know a lot of people do that. I know when I watch movies, like I read the Bible, I want to get all the details. I want to know everything that's going on. If you didn't start when I announced it, we're starting the movie. In 10 minutes, we're starting the movie. Get up here. Don't come in an hour to the movie, and now you're like, who is he? Why she did that? Then you're talking. And then you try to give your assumption, and it's just that, it's an assumption. Whereas if you start at the beginning of the movie to get it all, you know what's going on, the significance of what the movie's talking about. But people do the same thing with the Bible. You come in halfway through the Bible, read one scripture, and now you got to figure it out. No. No. Let's get Psalm chapter 119, verse 104. Okay. The 119th Psalm, verse 104. And then we're going to get Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. Like the next one I can get, beginning Psalm chapter 119, verse 104. Then we're going to get Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10. Let's read these.
Psalms chapter 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts, I gain understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way.
So the scripture we just came from in Proverbs 4, verse 7 told us what? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But with all that getting, get understanding. So now how are we going to get God's understanding? Well, according to Psalms chapter 119, verse 104, we're going to get God's understanding through the precepts. We've got to put the precepts together if we're going to get God's understanding. And that precept is plural, not singular. So you can't just read one scripture and you got it. You know what? My sense of intuition and clairvoyance, I'm just that deep. I can read one scripture and I got God figured out. I know that already. I know God. Me and God have a personal relationship. I'm sorry. Yeah, me and God, JC, like that. I got him on the hotline. My God talks to me every day. Right. And nobody can tell me that because me and God got, you know, it's about your own personal relationship with God. Come on, man, stop. If you want to understand God, you got to put the precepts together. But how are the precepts put together? Now let's get Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. And then somebody give me 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. All right, we're going to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33.
Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10.
Uh-huh.
The
And then it's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33.
Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept.
So if, according to Psalms chapter 119, verse 104, it's through God's precepts that we get God's understanding. Now here in Isaiah chapter 20, verse 10, it's telling you precept must be upon precept, and he repeats it twice, precept upon precept. There's no way you're going to get God's understanding if you're not putting the precept together. There's no way you're going to get God's understanding if you're not putting the precept, this precept with this precept, with this precept with this precept. There's no way you're going to understand God. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. Let's say now you don't understand what a precept is. God is going to make this real clear. He really going to make this real easy. Go ahead. And within Isaiah 28, verse 10, let's read from the beginning again.
Isaiah 28, verse 10, who's up? For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Light upon light. Light upon light.
He read it twice. He wasn't stuttering. He was reading what the scripture says. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. You've got to put the precepts and the scriptures together. If that's too hard to understand, cool. You got to put this line with this line. This line with this line. That's why we're begging everybody in our classes, write the scriptures down. Your memory recall is not that great. That's for all the precepts that's going to take to get God's understanding. It's not going to happen. Because you're going to do like many religions have done and paraphrase the hell out of what the scripture says. And that's why we got so many different religions. Because you're not going line upon line, line upon line. Now, let's say that's too hard to understand. Let's say that just, I did not hear. We on?
We on,
brother.
And there,
brother. He can't break it down no easier. So, precept on precept. You know, precept on precept, he said it twice. Okay, you're not getting that. Okay, clear the set this way. Okay, line up on lines, line up on line. I said it twice. Okay, then you know what? If you don't understand God, you're going to get here a little and there a little. That's why, again, you see how we jump scriptures, the way we keep jumping scriptures? Because you have to put the precepts together. You've got to put it all together. We just took 45 minutes going and showing about the miracle that we're living in, the time that we're living in, to understand the fact that we're waking up as Hebrew Israelites, it was not supposed to happen according to God's enemies. That this is one of the true miracles that God said was going to happen, is that we are actually waking up for our nationality after, again, from 1492 with the age of the discovery of Americas by the Spaniards to 1619, the first slave ships. 1619 to today is what? 400 years? 402 years that we've been under the lies of the false labels and the false religions and the false politics and the false governments that we've been under. So to come back now and find this out, look at the precepts that we had to jump through just to bring that understanding up. So now, in John 3:16, we're going to get the precepts together if we really want to understand John 3:16. We can't just read John 3:16 and say, "Oh, I got it. I'm smart." I've been tested, and I read at a grade 28 level. For real, that don't matter. If you're not putting the precepts together, the lines together. Here a little, there a little. I don't care how many multi-syllable words you use. When it comes to God, you're still an idiot. You're still ignorant. And all the more ignorant and idiot means you're untaught. You've not learned God. You don't know God. Forget about it. Now, from now, let's get 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. I thought I called it out.
1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace,
as in all churches of the day.
Cool. And First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. God is not the author of confusion. God is not confusing. But he's the author of peace, as in all churches of the who? Of the saints. We already went through and showed, using the Bible to understand the Bible, who God's saints are, the Israelites. This is not supposed to be confusing for the Israelites. When we put the precepts together, here a little, there a little, line upon line, here a little, there a little, this is not supposed to be confusing. The confusion comes from when we try and match what we learn in the world through religion, through politics, through TV, media, or what have you, and we try and mix that with God's precepts. That's where the confusion comes in. That's where this is just, what have you. Because you're not going by God's precepts. You're going by religion. Give me St. John chapter 4, verse 23. St. John chapter 4 and verse 23.
St. John chapter 4, verse 23.
Yes.
When the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
That the true worshipers? Is that the time is going to come. And this is Christ speaking. Christ is prophesying that the time is going to come when the true worshipers will go worship God in spirit and in truth. Read.
When the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Because that's who God's looking to worship him. Those that are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. But brothers, sisters, everybody that might be listening right now, why did Christ say the hour comes? Because obviously there's going to be a time when we were not going to be worshiping God the way God wants to be worshiped. There's going to be a time period where we were not going to be worshiping the true God. And what time period has that actually been since the age of discovery? We've been worshiping Easter, Christmas. We've been worshiping Thanksgiving. We've been worshiping money. We've been worshiping education. We've been worshiping a job. We've been worshiping a political party. We've been worshiping these things, but we have not been worshiping the true God, the true power. We've sacrificed for all these other things, but all that had nothing to do with the true God. But Christ, thank God, Christ said what? The hour's coming, and now it is when the true worshipers are going to worship God in spirit and in truth for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24.
The Most High is a spirit.
And God is a spirit. Go ahead.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
In spirit and in truth. Now, what is the truth? Let's use the Bible to break down the Bible. St. John chapter 17, verse 17. So what is the truth? That now we can worship God the way God wants to be worshipped. Not how you came up with that. You think God is from some of the modern day teachings of religion, the great he she, or whatever. Right? Who's got that?
St. John 17:17.
Yeah.
Sanctify them through thy truth.
And what sanctify means to cleanse. This is a prayer that Jesus Christ had to the Father. This is him praying to the Most High. To God. And in this prayer, he's saying, God, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify the disciples. Sanctify the true worshipers with the truth. Cleanse them with the truth. Now, Christ is going to say what the truth is, right?
The word is truth.
Christ is saying, he's declaring what the truth is. God's word is the truth. We're being cleaned up or sanctified by God's word, which is the truth. Give me St. John chapter 15, verse 1, or verse 3. St. John chapter 15, verse 3 now. We just read St. John chapter 17, verse 17. Now let's read St. John chapter 15, verse 3 to help back up this point of what the truth is, that we're supposed to be cleaned by, that we're supposed to be washed by.
St. John chapter 15 and verse 3.
Read.
Now ye are clean
through the word which I have spoken unto you.
So now, again, what's cleaning us up from the lies we've been taught?
The word that I have spoken unto you.
That's what's cleaning up from all the lies. Well, a person might feel guilty. Man, I didn't get the kids an Easter present. I didn't get my Sunday best for Easter. All right, cool. No problem. That's God again to do that anyway. I didn't get my kids a Christmas a present for Christmas. So what kind of dad am I? A damn good one. If we're going to use the Bible to actually do things right, to be right in the eyes of God, it's God's word that's cleaning us up. So again, we're using all this to lead into John 3:16. All right. Let's go to Psalms chapter 97 and verse 7. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 97 and verse 7. The book of Psalms chapter 97 and verse 7. The book of Psalms chapter 97 and verse 7.
Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods.
Cool. I wanted to read this here. Why are people confused? Confounded are all they that do what? Serve graven images. A graven image is something that you made up. Like if you go to if you have a wedding ring and you get your initials or name engraved or something engraved in the ring, that's something you made. That's something that you actually scraped or carved into that metal. You made that. So right here we're finding out it says, confounded are all they that serve graven images. You're serving what you put together. Now what God said. Now what the scripture says, now what God's word says, you're putting together something that you find precious, that you find sentimental, that you find important. Again, a religion, a political party, whatever America says is important, that this is precious. What America's definition of a man, America's definition of a woman, America's definition of marriage, America's definition of what have you, we're confounded and confused because confounded are all they that serve graven images. A lot of our people have been turned away from religion, turned away from God, because when they grew up, they was following a certain religion. And if I was some religion, why did their best friend die? Why did God take this person from me? If God is really God, why does he have me feel this pain? Why am I going through this? If God is really God, if there's a God out there, if there's a God out there that I put my, I was going to be an athlete. I was one of the best athletes in my, from little league to middle school to high school. I got a scholarship. I really didn't put a lot of energy into getting education because I was basing everything on this. I was going to be an athlete. And that was going to be my money. That was going to get me out of the hood. I was going to buy my mom a car, a house. That this athletics was going to be the ticket. Tore ACL, tore MCL, tore Achilles tendon. Now I'm confounded. Now I'm confused. Why did God do this to me? If there's a God who knew, all I wanted to do was get to live comfortable. I wasn't trying to be rich. All I wanted to do was do this and do that. And why wasn't God there? Why didn't God give me what I wanted? Again, since the brother left, somebody please read Psalm 97, verse 7.
Psalm 97, verse 7. Confounded be all they that serve graven images.
So why did my great-grandmother or why did my grandmother and my favorite aunt, why did she die of cancer? Why did she die of this or in a car accident? She was God's parent. She went to church every Sunday. She didn't listen to no music but gospel music. She didn't cuss. Why did God have to take her?
Confounded be all they that serve graven images.
because you're serving, you weren't serving God. You were serving something you made important. You served something that was sentimental and close to you, precious to you, but it had nothing to do with God. It had not a darn thing to do with God. But you were told, by doing this, this will make you successful. Right now we have the Black Lives Matter movement going on across America. And for a lot of people, it's like, how come we're still fighting for Black Lives Matter? I'm a taxpayer. I've been to college. I have my gun permit. I have a concealed carry weapon permit. Why are we still getting shot down in the car, my wife and kid in the car? I'm doing everything that America told me I'm supposed to do to be an American citizen. And I'm trying to use my rights as an American citizen. I'm trying to use the Constitution as an American citizen to protect me. But we're still getting killed. Why is this happening? I'm a veteran. I'm college educated. I've never done drugs. I don't smoke. Why are these things continue to happen to me? I'm not a dirtbag. I'm not ghetto. I'm not a nigger. Why is this still happening to us? Confounded are all they that serve what? Graven images. I can't understand why. I thought if I married the prettiest girl in the school, my life's supposed to be good. She's the prettiest. She's the prom queen. I'm the prom king. This is supposed to be a fairy tale, Cinderella type relationship. How come it didn't happen? I thought if I did it this way and I worked out, I made a lot of money, that she would love me because I made a whole lot of money. Got in a car accident, lost the use of my leg. All of a sudden now she left me. I thought this would be to death do you part. Where was God at then? Confounded be all they that serve graven images. Read from that part there, graven images, after graven images. Go ahead.
That both themselves of idols.
And they both themselves of idols. Of I've got a Grammy, I've got Academy Awards, I've got all type of just of whatever. And I'm living the American lifestyle. I'm living the American dream. You're going to be confounded. You're going to be confused. Read.
Once again, all ye gods.
The reason I want to get the scripture here also is that all ye what?
Gods,
plural. Even in the Bible, and we're going to get several examples of this, even in the Bible, there's more than one God. Even in the Bible, there is more than one God. So the basic, you got to ask a question, what God are you serving? That before we get into John 3:16, that God sold the world, we really jump all into the world, we got to get to God. That in the Bible, there's more than one God. So what God or which God are you serving? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 13 verse 10. And the next brother, please get Jeremiah 16, 13. Right now we're going to Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 10, and then Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 10, and then we're going to get Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 13.
Jeremiah chapter 13 verse 10.
Uh-huh.
This evil people, which refuse to hear my words.
Now, I'll do some interjecting here. God says, this evil people, which do what?
Refuse to hear my word.
Don't want to hear God's words. Because I have my graven image of what I find precious, of what I find sentimental, of what I find important, of what I was told is supposed to be sentimental, important, or of value. I'm following that, but I'm not following I'm following my dreams and what I think how things should be. But I'm not following God. And God says, this is an evil people that do this. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, Brad.
Which walk in the imagination of their hearts.
You walking up to something, that's your imagination. How the temptation song go? It was just my imagination. Once again,
Running your way with me? I'm going real old school.
Running the race with God.
I know some of these young men don't know that right there. I'm not saying this just to crack on being young, but that's a song that used to be, it was a very popular song back in the day. That you follow your imagination. That you follow what you put together in your head. That got nothing to do with God. Somebody put that thought in your head, and now you make that important. But that don't mean God finds it important. So you're running with your imagination. And your imagination is playing tricks on you. Your mind is playing tricks on you. Because we refuse to hear God's words. You know?
And walk after other gods.
By following your imagination, how does God see it? You're walking after other gods. You're not following him. That's how God sees it, the God of the Bible. When you follow your imagination, you're not following him. You're following other gods. That's how he sees it. Read.
To serve them.
To serve them. To serve whatever thought, the imagination you came up with. You're trying to serve that, but not the words of God. You're trying to serve that, what you find precious and put together, but not what God says. Read.
And to worship them shall even be as this birth, which is good for nothing.
And God said, as you keep following your imagination and what you think is right, good, proper, extreme, proper, whatever, God says you're good for what?
Nothing.
You're good for nothing. You're good for nothing. Your dreams, your thoughts, your desires, your aspirations, it's good for nothing. God ain't seeing it, recognizing it, he ain't dealing with it. All right? Come here. Jeremiah 16:13.
Jeremiah 16:13.
Okay.
Jeremiah 16:13. Therefore will I cast you out of this land,
into
a land that ye know not.
So again, this is a prophecy to the Israelites. God was going to cast us out of the promised land. Into a land that we knew not. That's why it calls the New World. We're going to be cast into a land that nobody knew. The New World. The so-called Americas. Read.
Ye know your fathers.
Yeah.
And there shall ye serve other gods.
And then we're going to serve what?
Other gods.
Other gods. Plural. Again, I just want to bring a few scriptures out and showing that in the Bible, there's more than one God. There's gods. So when you're referring to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, which God are you talking about? Because there is a God of John 3:16, but it's defined right now. Don't put your imagination and what you think is precious, sentimental, good, as a substitute for what God says. Don't do that. You're going to be confounded. You try to put together whatever it is you try to put together, and it's not going to work, and you're going to be trying to be mad at God. You're going to be bitter. I thought this was supposed to happen. I thought it was supposed to be like this. I thought I was supposed to have this, that, whatever. I thought we was in the Bible. I thought we was dealing with God. No, you was dealing with your imagination. You were dealing with what you found important, not what God found important. You're going to be confounded. Now, when you go through we're not going to do it right now. I've already done it. Online, they have things called concordances. Concordances tell you where every word in the Bible is at. For example, you can look up love. Do an online concordance, King James Concordance, and look up the word love. And it'll tell you everywhere that the word love is in every scripture, okay? So I did that for the word gods. There are over 259 scriptures in the Bible concerning the word gods, plural. So to come back now and not understand that even the Bible, there's more than one God. You have to make sure you know which God you're serving. And if you're not following the scriptures, you ain't serving him. If you're not going by his word, you're still wrong.
even though you might be calling yourself a Hebrew Israelite. You can be calling yourself a Hebrew Israelite and still be wrong. You scratching or had a question?
Cool. From there, let's get Psalms chapter 86 and verse 8. Psalms chapter 86 and verse 8. So I got three men here. Psalms 86 and 8, then Psalms 95 and 3, Psalms 95 and 3, and then Psalms 96, 4 and 5. I'm going to call them out again. Psalms chapter 86 and verse 8, Psalms chapter 86 and verse 8, then Psalms chapter 95, verse 3, Psalms chapter 95, verse 3, then Psalms chapter 96, verses 4 and 5. Right? Will you please get those in that order? First one, Psalms chapter 86 and verse 8, Psalms chapter 95, verse 3, then Psalms chapter 96, verses 4 and 5.
Psalms 86 and verse 8. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any words like unto thy words.
Cool. So among the what? Gods. There is none like unto thee, O Lord. So again, there is a comparison, and it's supposed to be a comparison. There is more than one God in the Bible. Which God are you serving? Are you really serving the God of the Bible? And the serve means, like, if you go to a restaurant, I know before the COVID, it could really be done. You go to a restaurant, when the waitress comes and asks for your order, what's another name for waitress?
A server.
Because what is she doing? You give her what you want to eat. She goes and brings it to you and what? Serves it to you. She brings you what you want. Are you bringing God what he wants? Or are you bringing what you think is precious? What you think is right? What you think is proper? Are you really serving God? If God says he's a God of forgiveness, do you forgive? Or are you just bitter? You just mad? The audacity. How can you forgive somebody if you've never been offended? Don't say it. There's no way in hell you can say, man, I'm a really forgiving person. Man, my girl, my mom always told me, man, I have a big heart. But now if this happened to me, I just can't forgive. Then you would never forgive me first. You cannot be labeled a forgiving person until you've been offended. That's impossible. How? You're not serving the God of the Bible. Okay? So among the gods, there is none like unto thee. Go ahead. Read again.
Neither are there any works like unto thy work.
And there is no work like the God of the Bible. And we'll get to his name in here in a second. Give me the next scripture, please. Psalms chapter 95, verse 3. Psalms chapter 95 and verse 3 for those writing along. Go ahead.
For the Lord is a great God.
For the Lord is a great God. Go ahead.
And a great king above all gods.
And he is a great king above where?
All gods.
All gods. There are many gods. In the Bible, there's many gods. Which one are you serving? And a God does what? It gives you power. So just because you have a great feeling, if you being married gives you such a great feeling, guess what you just made your marriage? You just made that a God. When you sacrifice for this great feeling in this marriage, guess what you're sacrificing to? That's a God. You're not sacrificing to that God to keep that feeling. That ain't the Most High. That's not the Father. When you sacrifice for to live in a certain neighborhood, that gives you a certain feeling of dignity, a certain feeling of power, and a certain feeling of confidence. Just because that gives you confidence and a sense of power, guess what? That don't mean it's God, the God of the Bible. You've made your life, your address, a God. Because if you lose that address, all of a sudden now you're depressed, suicidal, you just want to jump in front of the next bus. Because you don't have that thing. You've made those things gods. and that's not the Most High. Usually because you get, if a person's carrying a gun, they have confidence. They want somebody, I wish a nigga would. Guess what you just made that gun? You done made that gun a god. It gives you confidence. It gives you power. It gives you a sense of belonging. You just made that thing a graven image. You just made that a god. That does not mean that that is the Most High. And we can look and see where among our people, our nation, look at how many things we use to give ourselves confidence, power, and a sense of feeling good. From cigarettes to Netflix, Hulu, video games, to my physique. Because I've got this physique, I've got power, and I feel good, and I feel powerful, and I feel this. Just because you feel that doesn't mean that's the Most High. You've now made that a god. And the Father, well, let's keep reading. Psalm chapter, where are we at?
We're at 95.
Yeah.
Okay. Psalm 95, verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth.
So God is a great King. For the Lord is a great God. And it says what?
And a great King above all gods.
There's a great King above all gods. But are you worshiping the right God? Are you really worshiping the Most High? Psalms chapter 96, verse 4 and 5. Psalms chapter 96, verses 4 and 5.
Psalms 96, verse 4 and 5. For the Most High is great, and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods.
And again, the Lord is supposed to be feared above all gods. And if you lose him, there should be a sense of depression, hopelessness, powerlessness. To lose him above anything.